believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and earned a Bachelor's of Administration from Wayne State University. From 1989 to 2014, she was the president of Ward Williston Oil Company. She and her late husband, Tom, have been devoted to philanthropic work with programs supporting education, mentoring, microfinance, and relief work in the United States as well as developing countries. They're currently working on projects in Rwanda, Mozambique, Sudan, Uganda, Jordan, and America. Her name? Lori Cunnington. And I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to a most amazing lady, Lori Cunnington. Lori, welcome back. It's an honor to have you again.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you.
Can we start by you leading us in an opening prayer, please?
I'd love to. Dear Lord, I thank you for this great country that you've allowed us to live in. I thank you that your hand is upon us, that you direct us. I pray that you will bless us today and bless our words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, let's go back. Your mom and your dad and your childhood, Lori, please.
Okay, well, I'm a Detroit girl. I was brought up in Detroit, and I love the city. I still love the city. I was brought up right off of Woodward and 7 Mile Road. And so Palmer Park was right across the street. It was kind of nice to live like that. Everything, we went to school in Detroit schools, and it was just, everything was pretty amazing during that time.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
My father was an entrepreneur, and his life seemed so exciting to me. He wore beautiful suits every day, and I thought, wow, I like this. But women, of course, were not doing things that he was doing every day. So what I learned from him was that you could set a goal and live that goal. Whatever you wanted to do, you could do. So that was a good thing that I learned from him. And my mom, she was just another, just truly an amazing, strong, true grit woman. And when things kind of turned upside down in her life, she was able to cope with it, and she taught us how to cope with things that weren't quite going our way.
Those entrepreneur genes that your dad had,
yes,
are in you throughout your whole life.
Yes.
Starting in 1976, you founded a corporate search firm. How
yes.
and why?
Well, this is, it's a funny little story. I worked for another big search firm, and I liked the work. It was a lot of fun, and but I had ideas, so I went to my boss and I told him all these great ideas that I had, and he looked them over and he said, "Look, you are making more money than most men are making. Just go back to your office and get your job done." And he said, "We're not General Motors." And I thought, okay. And I went back to my office and I thought, I really would like to try these ideas. And so I started to make my plans. It took me about a year to put plans together, and I had a roadmap of where I was going. And I did, I'm friends with him the rest of my life. He was a really great guy, and I liked him. And so he always watched over me, too, and was a great mentor. But I left him and started my own company, and that was pretty successful also.
That 7-year chapter.
Yep.
Of running the consulting firm, or the recruiting firm.
Right.
What's the biggest thing you learned?
Oh, everything I learned was about people. I mean, I love people. And I found a way that I could help people. I was just a young girl at the time. I was 25 years old, and I was dealing with men that were, to me, it seemed really old. They were 50s. Now it doesn't seem old at all, but it was just something that what I learned during that time is I could help people, and people wanted to find that help. And men's careers at that time was mostly men. Men's careers were, that's their lifeline to their family, to everything they did. And so if I could help them, that was something that was very good for me.
All right, you say you love people.
I do.
You really, really loved one person by the name of Tom Cunnington. How'd you meet him? Why'd you fall in love with him?
So I met Tom through different avenues, but this is a hard question to put it into words. How did I fall in love with him? He was a client of mine. He was from Boston, and when he came into town, at that time I had my own company, and he was a client of mine, and we just knew each other, hit it off, and I fell in love with him. And he gave me a love affair that lasted all my life, so.
And a team that changed the world, too.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
We're talking to Lori Cunnington, and I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Lori Cunnington. From 1989 to 2014, she was the president of Ward Williston Oil Company. How and why?
Well, it was kind of exciting, but my husband, Tom, he was enamored with oil. I wasn't so much, and we were partners. We were partners on everything that we did, so... he was first, and he started to do a lot of research. How do you drill a well? What does that mean? Is it profitable? Is it not? And so he got all his research done and kept me going on this. And then finally, we hooked up with a wildcatter and did some wildcatting in Illinois and Indiana. And that was really very successful. We never had a dry hole. And the first time we went to actually see a well come in, we had to walk a farmer's field to get to the well site. I don't know if you've ever been on a well site, but when you drill a well, you kind of create a little village. And you have all these pieces of equipment, big pieces of equipment. And you create this little village, and then you go out and you watch this, and you can actually see the... Well, come in. So I walked out, but I am not athletic. And we walked out, and I was doing very well, and all of a sudden, there's a creek. And we had to get over the creek. And so...
Did you have high heels on, Lori?
I had boots, but they were pretty, that's for sure. And so I... Guy number one, he jumped the creek. Guy number two, he jumped the creek. Then it was me. I tried my best to jump the creek, and I landed right in the middle of the creek. So I tried to get all my dignity back, and I took my boots and got the water out, and I walked. And when we got there, that was a beautiful day because we got our first well, and it was so exciting. And there was another investor that came, too. This is kind of exciting what happened, and he said, "You know what? I think, Lori, is this your first well?" And I said, "Yes, it's my first well." And he said, "Well, I want to give you something that you'll always remember this well." And he pulls out from his pocket a gold nugget. And he said, "Here, this is for you. I want you to always keep this. You'll remember your first well." And I said, "Well, thank you." He said, "Well, it's from my gold mine in Canada." He said, "Your gold mine?" He said, "Yes, my gold mine in Canada." I said, "Oh, thank you." And he said, "Do you really like it?" And I said, "I'm just in awe that you would give me a gold nugget." And he said, "Well," reach in the other pocket, and he pulls out a little bag, a little velvet bag, and they're filled with emeralds. And he says, "Take this too." He said, "This is from my emerald mine in Africa. And I'm like, I like the oil business. That was my first well, and that was my first idea of what it was like to. I was so naive at the time, but that was my first idea of what.
Can I make a little joke?
Yes, absolutely.
It's kind of like watching Green Acres.
Oh dear.
Where Tom was Eddie Albert, and this is Zsa-Zsa.
People
this
said
is Zsa-Zsa.
That.
The good parts of Zsa-Zsa. Okay, Zsa-Zsa, aka Lori. Then you go to North Dakota.
Yes.
But How did that happen?
Well, before we went to North Dakota, we did a few more wells with this wildcatter. And then we thought, you know what, maybe we'll try to do this on our own. And so we actually drilled our first well in Michigan. And it was up by Gaylord, Michigan. And we all night long we were drilling, and all night long it was nothing, no indication that we were going to hit a well. And we kept going, and everyone was saying, do you want to just shut it down and say we got a dry hole? But instead, we kept going. And what happened was just, it was God looking out for us, because we hit one of the biggest wells around, and it has been, it's still producing. That was, what, 40 years ago? 40 years, still producing. When it started producing, we didn't even need to put a pump jack on it. It was just flowing. It was, you know, God blessing us. So we thought at that point, no dry holes. This is good business. We like this.
Do you play the horses or the lottery?
No, no, because our time was coming. So, but what happened to us is that we had an old timer in the oil business kind of was a mentoring us. And he said, I have this company he was on the board of that was an oil company, and they were old oil people that made investments in oil many, many years before that, like old Mr. Oldsmobile, old Mr. Strohs, old just elderly people, old Mr. Ward. And so the company was for sale, and we bought it. And it was rickety old equipment, and not much was going on, but they had like, I don't know, 100 wells in North Dakota. But most of them had to be capped because they weren't producing. So it was a deficit that we had to do. But we took that, and we started to build on that. And then God blessed us because lateral drilling came along. And it happened.
Fracking,
but also lateral, it would change the game for everybody. And we were in North Dakota, and North Dakota was very prolific with oil. And so we bought this company, and we turned things around, and I think we were almost number two in the state at one point. So
we're talking to Lori Cunnington. I've known her for 30 years. Everything you do is first class, 5-star.
Oh, thank you.
Why and how?
Well, I really feel that, first of all, I had a mother that did everything first class, so it was easy. She had her Royal Dalton out on for everyday china and things like that, and I was always impressed by that. But I think that when you are a follower of Jesus, this is what he asks you to do. Be the best at everything you can be. And it's not so hard to be the best. And I think that's kind of what I've always thought. And attention to detail is really my middle name. And so that's...
Another thing I admire you for is your eye. Very classy. I mean, when you have people to dinner, how you fix the table, the invites, everything is color coordinated. How did you learn that?
Thank you, Jack. Thank you for saying that. I think it just kind of comes part of your being. And again, you go back to, you learn from your mother, and you take it a couple steps higher. So
we're talking to Lori Cunnington, and she mentioned her faith. This is a woman that truly trusts God.
Yes.
And does what he wants her to do. When we come back, we're going to talk about that aspect of the life.
Thank you.
And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Lori Cunnington. If you want to learn more, www.cunningtonandcunnington.com. Lori, your faith. You just trust God.
I do.
Does that work today?
It does. You know what? For me, Jesus is as real as you are. And the Bible is my guidebook. And so I've always lived that. And not that I haven't done things I wish I hadn't done. Not that I think I'm a perfect person because I'm anything but perfect. But I know who is there to guide my life. And so I have this personal relationship with my Savior. And it's been a wonderful walk. And He's taught me as I go. And when I fall flat on my face, He's there for me. And believe me, that's happened many, many times. So,
all right. Heaven got a little bit better about a year ago. We lost Tom. And about 200 or 300 of us went to Kirk of the Hills for the memorial. And Reverend Edwin Estevez gave a fantastic homily. And he used Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. And he said that over and over as he talked about the two of you and what you've done for the world. That verse is, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me." Lori, that's you through and through.
Thank you.
Why?
Well, let me just tell you that where that came from and how it entered into my life and Tom's life. We had been doing a lot of different things, and we were at a time where we were ready to step up and do more things, specifically in Africa. And it was a very costly thing to do. It wasn't just...
It was a lot of oil.
It was a lot of oil. That's right. It was a lot of oil. But we had a Bible study that we were all up north, and we were at this little, it was like a camp service, I guess. It was right outside of Petoskey. You've probably seen it before. It's a Methodist church. And I had never been there, but somebody said we all had to go. So this whole little Bible study went there. And that preacher that day preached on that verse. And we sat there and we could just feel that God was saying, this is you. This is what you. Because what Isaiah remembered as he wrote this thing down, he said, he heard the voice of God saying, who will do this? Who will do this for me? And he said, is it me, Lord? Is it me? And then he goes all the way, the whole cycle, and he says, it is I, Lord. Send me. But at first he's like, is it really me? Are you going to ask me to do this? And then he turns it all the way in the whole full cycle, and he says, it's I. It is me. So we were like stun-gunned sitting in church, and we kind of looked at each other and said, okay, this is God speaking to us. And we walked out, and when we walked out, there was another couple that we knew, and they were very reserved people. They weren't like me. They were kind of reserved and very gentle people, and they were part of our Bible study, and they were waiting for us in the back. And when we got there, they said, we just have to tell you that God spoke to my heart back there and said, Lori and Tom Cunnington, this service is for them. And so we took it real seriously that God had these amazing things for us to do. So we never looked back. We just kept doing.
Speaking of amazing things to do, your latest amazing thing that you've done is just this past week, you organized a luncheon and a fireside chat to bring the Jewish people and Christians together to talk about anti-Semitism and how to improve it.
Yes.
How did that come about, and why did you do that?
I'm so glad you asked me that, because it really touches my heart so much when I think of what has happened. When, first of all, the war started, and that was bad. We all saw it on our TVs. But then what happened is our major educational places, like colleges and universities, had tent city outside, people that were protesting, Jews. And we had young students trying to go through those lines and watching our flag of the United States of America being burned, and then watching the Israeli flag being burned, and wondering if they're going to be able to get to that class. Is somebody going to beat them up? Is somebody going to stab them? And I watched that. I think a lot of us watched that. But when I watched it, God just tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You've got to do something." And I wasn't sure what to do, so I started to ask my Jewish friends. I asked them, how do you feel about this horrible thing that's happening about anti-Semitism? What are you doing? And maybe most of them had tears in their eyes and said, "We don't know what to do. We are just shocked at this whole thing, but we don't know what to do." So that went along, and then I called a couple organizations that Tom and I had been involved with, and asked them, "What are you doing? What are you doing about this issue?" And every one of them said the same thing. We're not sure what to do right now, but we're working on it. And by the way, P.S., they are, each one of them have plans now. But this was way back in April that I would start calling. I was in Florida at the time, and I just started calling different organizations that I knew. And so, not knowing what to do, I started praying about it, and God just let me meet even more of my Jewish friends. And I started to talk with them on a serious basis. I brought them over to my office, and 12 girls at a time, because my conference room will seat 12. So I brought 12 ladies at a time. And we started to formulate what could be done. And that's when we came up with this idea that we would have a fireside chat. And it was amazing. It was amazing.
I was honored to be there. It was amazing.
Thank you. And I do remember this, Jack. When I first started, I thought, "Oh dear, who?" I prayed about it and said, "Okay, Lord, who is going to help me, and who will be the moderator?" And I remember calling you up, and before I even got it out of my mouth, you said, "I'd be delighted to help you. I would be delighted to help you." So that was my moderator, and then we got people like Ambassador Ricolta, and you know, you introduced me to him, that we made a presentation to him, and he was 100% with us. And the others all followed. So we had a very interesting panel, and people received it very well.
It was an honor to be there.
Thank you. It was an honor to do it.
We're talking to Lori Cunnington. If you want to learn more, www.cunningtonandcunnington.com. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Rasula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love, stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life, and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speaker Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Lori Cunnington. Lori, back in the early 80s,
yes,
you and Tom saw a Time magazine cover. It changed your life, and it's changed the lives of thousands of other people.
Yes, it has.
What was the cover?
Well, this was, as you said, in the early 80s, and it was Tom that saw the cover first, and he handed it to me, and he said, we have to do something. And what it was is it was a woman that was sitting, an African woman, sitting on the ground, and she was holding her baby. And the baby had this big, all the signs of starvation, a big stomach. The little baby's eyes were poking out, orange hair. And these are all signs of starvation. And it looked like if you just blew real hard, that poor woman would have fallen over. She was just bones. And her baby, I don't think, probably lasted throughout the day. And it said Mozambique, Africa, was having all of these problems. They had a civil war. They had a drought, a famine. And hundreds of thousands of people were dying every day. So he said, Tom said, we've got to do something. And so that's my cue for, I called a major relief organization. And I said, I'm here, I can help. What's happening in Africa that needs your help? And this young man that probably was just manning the phones for a moment said, oh, Africa. Africa always has problems. So I thought, oh, okay. So I went back to Tom and I said, honey, this Africa always has problems. I guess we're not supposed to do anything. So we kind of forgot about it. And then maybe 6 months later, one of our friends, Tom Demery, he's a Detroit guy too. Mm-hmm. And Tom called and said, would you guys just come and have dinner? I met this guy that is doing work in Africa, and he's spent all his own money doing this, and now he's came to America to try to see if he could raise some money to help him. And in that time, it was Mozambique. And we thought, whoa, wait a minute, I remember that article. Maybe this is something that God has for us. So we went, we listened. And his story was amazing. And we thought, where do we fit in? Well, we can do something. And so we started. And at first there were so many displaced children. They needed refuge, so we put some orphanages up. And then as things got a little more stable, they needed food. They needed clothes. And so his name was Peter Pretorius. And his wife was Ann Pretorius. And they started an organization called JAM.
Joint Aid Management.
Yes, Joint Aid Management. And at first, it was $50 would feed a child for a year.
Every day.
For a whole year. And so we started with that. And then today, I think at the time they were doing maybe 400 kids a day. And this was just in Mozambique. They hadn't gone out to other places. So today they're feeding over a million, I think, children a day. That's amazing.
Peter Pretorius was a world-class businessman, a pilot, a Formula One race car driver, a tobacco farmer.
Yeah. He was so real.
I met him through you. I had him on the show 3 times. I always say he's the second best guest I've ever had. He wrote me his philosophy of life once. Life really begins when you go beyond yourself, taking on what seems to be impossible challenges for the purpose of assisting others. Fulfillment comes as a result of seeing lives changed by what you've done. Lori, that's your life. Oh, that's how you live.
I'm humbled that you would say that. That was Peter's life. Peter was amazing. Oh. His wife, Anne, was amazing. And what they did to change Africa, one person at a time, was amazing. And we, Tom and I, were in the background. We supported whatever he said, whatever he wanted. At one point, they couldn't even get the food. They had food, and they couldn't get it to like Mozambique. And so he would call us, and he'd say, "I don't know what can I do. I need some help here. What am I going to do?" And so we would send him the help he needed. And one time he was called in the orphanage that we worked with to get approval that they could put the children in. That night, they needed a certain amount of beds. So he called and said, "Okay, I need these right now. I need these now." So we'd be wiring whatever needed to be, and we would go visit Africa about once a year or so and just see. And then at one point, we took our grandchildren, and they worked at a refugee camp. They saw, their little eyes were open to the realities of life.
But then you would bring Peter and Anne here, host a high-style dinner,
yeah,
you know, of wealthy friends,
yeah,
and they'd leave with a lot of money.
They would.
All right. You've been an angel for tens of thousands of people. God has brought you a few angels.
Yes.
27 years, God brought you an angel by the name of Maureen Fisher.
Oh, unbelievable.
Okay? And I asked her the other day, I said, "What amazes you most about Lori?" Maureen said, "She looks at a problem unlike anyone else. She sees a problem as an opportunity." Lori, you do that. Are you nuts?
I think that's just how I'm wired. I mean, I do. There's no obstacle that you can't overcome with God by your side, too. I mean, that's the key to making it really work, that God's by your side. But there's no obstacle that you can't figure out. And God gave us all a brain, and we got to use it, and we got to think, and we can figure things out.
All right.
I'm humbled that she'd say that, too. Thank you.
Miss Pamela Good.
Yes.
25 plus years ago, goes to the inner city to deliver some coats. She and Joanne Wagerson start Beyond Basics.
Amazing.
A literacy program that's helped thousands of kids learn to read. It's a silent epidemic. Over half the kids in America cannot read anywhere near grade level.
Yep. It's real.
Talk about Beyond Basics.
Well, Pam is amazing because not only is she working this, and she's did it for 20-some years, but she figured out what is a system that can be put together to get a child reading within months. And I know that firsthand because we had her team come to a little school in the inner city of Detroit called Westside Christian. And we had been supporting the school for a long time. We never thought, "Oh, wait a minute, maybe these kids can't read." We never thought of that. And because of the work that we did with Pam, with Beyond Basic, we started thinking, well, wait a minute, maybe this school needs this. So we talked to Pam, they put their system into this school, and we found out that a high percentage could not read. And so we put a literacy program. And it all stems back to our beautiful Pam. And she knows now, she can go all the way over the state, she can go through the whole country. She knows what will work. And that's why I think we have to listen to her, because she knows it's tried and true. It's not just a theory right now. It's really true.
All right. You live your faith and trust in the Lord every day. That's how you've run your businesses. In today's world, can a company use Christ-centered principles today and still be successful?
Really, if you follow Jesus, he's with you. He's your partner. And when you're an entrepreneur, you are free. Sometimes when you're on that corporate ladder, you're not as free. So I speak to you today as an entrepreneur. And I'd say, yes, every crisis that we went through with that particular company, Tom and I both had different companies at different times, but the oil company was very challenging at times. And, I mean, I have stories that other people would have probably folded if they, one day we had, when an oil man produces the oil, they put it in big tanks. You see these tanks when you fly into different states. And then what happens is it is either hooked up to the pipeline, or trucks come and take it to the pipeline, and then you sell it. That's when you actually sell the oil. So you have these buyers. This is what they do. And so we had one day at the end of the month, our buyer came, and he drained all our wells, all our tanks, right down to they usually just take maybe half of it. This time they took everything. And so when that day, we get these calls, what happened is that they drained all those tanks, and then they went and claimed bankruptcy. And that was multiples of millions of dollars that we lost that day. There was no way to, 10 cents on the dollar maybe if you went to bankruptcy court, but it was really, we lost multiples of millions of dollars. And many people would have just folded, but we knew that God was directing us, and we used our business acumen, and we figured a way out.
Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Lori always answers, "Here I am, send me." Lori, thank you for all you do. Please keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoiler.
Believe in yourself.